Okay. Brothers and sisters, we'll be in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 for today's message. And the focus will be starting from verse 8 moving forward. And first we'll open in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word as breathed by the Holy Spirit and given to the prophet Isaiah. We were able in Sunday school to glean a little bit and mention of him in passing and how saints in the New Testament would have been encouraged even in the worship that we shared with the promises in Isaiah of salvation. But Lord, we live in a dark day and we need encouragement from your word, and you know this more than anyone, for you gave us this holy word. So we pray we would find encouragement both in these pages and in the story of what you're doing for the sake of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 55, the Lord gives an invitation to the gospel. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you call a nation you do not know. And nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And amen to that. We have all, well, I don't know about all of us, but you would each of you know if you are the Lord's, for his spirit will witness with your spirit that you are his. And to us who have availed ourselves to the gift of eternal life, we have taken this invitation to come to buy wine and milk without money and without price, to buy the bread of heaven by faith in Jesus Christ and eat that we may live. All this Isaiah 55 we've covered is an invitation to the gospel, and then from verse 1 to 5, and in verse 6, the Lord tells them that time is running short. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The Lord begins to speak to unbelievers and invite them. He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And from this point, the Lord shifts and from preaching the gospel to sharing about his ways and his thoughts and how they are infinitely above ours. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but I shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That is the whole of the scriptures that we'll look at today. And the Lord first gives the gospel. He gives a warning to the unsaved to seek the Lord while he may be found. And then he turns and says that his ways are different than ours. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord gives next an illustration for the word which includes his gospel that goes out to the world. And this is very encouraging to us who are here and have been given the responsibility to preach the name of Jesus while the Lord may still be found. The Lord says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. If you look at the rain and you look at the snow, despite all the technology we've come to today, we haven't figured out a way to stop it. It comes when it pleases, when the Lord pleases. We listen to weathermen who devote their lives and algorithms and computers and all kinds of research and technology, including weather balloons and radar, all devoted to predicting when that rain and when that snow will hit, how often and how much. But they can't control it. They try to live their lives around it, much like people do with the Word of God today. But they cannot control the fact that it's there. And the Lord gives a promise concerning His Word. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. How shall it be? Well, as He described, as the rain that comes down and the snow from heaven. And do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud. If you're like me, when you go out, you're afraid to share God's word with people. It takes extra faith to overstep that fear in love, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of sound mind. It takes a little bit of extra faith to share God's word. But these scriptures can be encouraging to us. That no matter what they do to plan their lives around the rain and the snow, it comes anyway. And so our word should be going out. God's word should be going out from our mouth anyway. It won't turn back void, and no one can stop it. You know, we live in a free country where you can still preach for how much longer, we don't know. And some would say we're not so much free anymore. But look at a country like the Islamic Republic of Iran, a country in which I was born, in which Islam is the state religion. It's the only religion sanctioned in that country to be allowed. There's no gospel printing press. There's no place in Iran where you can go to a Christian bookstore. There's no Christianity on the local TV stations or the local radio stations. So how does God, in that closed country, keep His promise? Well, just as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, so shall God's word be that goes forth from His mouth. In Iran today, there is an awakening. Some are calling it Iran's own great awakening. Others are calling it a revival. I'm not sure why. There wasn't much of a church there to revive. I would go with awakening. And what's happening is people are coming to faith in that closed country so much that some are calling it the world's fastest growing church. I'll tell you, it's not of any merit of the Iranian or the Persian. For we did not have God's word. But as the rain and the snow come, so came God's word to Iran. We weren't experts in it. We were ignorant of it. But just like the rain and the snow, you don't have to know anything about it. It's coming. And so how did God bring it? Well, missionaries were there preaching the word by faith. Some of you might have known the names of dear brother and sister Dick and Nita Papworth, who were there on Iranian soil before the clergy overtook the monarchy and instituted an Islamic state religion. And to this day, it's called the Islamic Republic of Iran. Our brothers and sisters, Dick and Nita Papworth, were there sharing God's word as God was giving them utterance to preach the word. But that nation closed. Missionaries had to leave, so they left. But those two, that couple, kept faith in God's word that it would come down on Iran as the rain and the snow does. And they came here and they put their hands to radio ministry. And they preached the gospel on the air. And they got others to preach the gospel on the air in the Persian and Farsi languages. And other missionaries did similarly, even in California. You'll find many studios in California that are not of Hollywood's type. in those studios, they're not making films. They are doing programs for television to be broadcast into countries around the world. One of them, namely, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, if you turn on Christian television today, you have to be careful who you listen to in America. There's a lot of charlatans out for money whose God is their belly, as Philippians 3 said. But not on the satellite TV stations that are broadcast into the Islamic Republic of Iran. You see, a charlatan, a prosperity teacher, has no reason to preach to the Iranian people. The average wages of the Iranian is $50 a month for hard manual labor. The attention and efforts of the prosperity teacher seeking to rob those of their hard-earned money is best spent on wealthier nations like yours. The Iranians are left without a preacher on television to listen to, unless people step forth, not desiring for money, but for the motive of Christ's name to be preached. And those brethren have stepped forth for some time now. They go into the studios in California and in other studios in the world where you can still do a recording of Christian services and preaching the word. They record these services and then they broadcast it into the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's broadcast into these countries, not just Iran, but other countries also, through what they call free-to-air satellite channels. You don't have to pay for them. You just have to buy a dish and point it to the right part of the sky. No matter where you are on the earth, there'll be a satellite you can point to and listen to these broadcasts where they don't ask for money. They preach the word. And through the air that the Islamic Republic of Iran is trying to control comes these radio waves. Coming down from these satellites as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. And just like the snow and the rain, no one can stop it. Iranians turn on their television, they hear the gospel, they get saved. The report to me is, Ali, they're coming to faith left, right, and center. Same thing with the radio waves. They're broadcast, and they go ping, 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 ping off the troposphere, or whatever it's called, till they hit these other countries. And those radio waves come through the air, just as the rain and the snow come from heaven. And do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The Islamic Republic of Iran has tried everything it can to stop these broadcasts from coming into the country, but they're powerless. Despite being an authoritarian state, and that's being nice about it, despite having laws against having satellites, satellite dishes, that is. They have laws against that. You go on any rooftop in the Islamic Republic of Iran, even in their biggest cities, you don't have to be out somewhere in the country, even in the biggest cities, you go on the rooftops of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you look around, and just about everyone has a free-to-air satellite dish. And the government can't stop it. It's one of those things that the people have wholeheartedly decided they're not going to comply. They're going to set up those dishes. They're going to listen to these broadcasts coming in. Now, of course, like any other channels, some of these channels that you can tune into on these stations are worldliness. The filth that's coming out of our country, even, they tune into. And perhaps for that reason, they went and bought these satellite dishes, that they might get a glimpse of Hollywood in our films and these things, which are outlawed to them. But they change the channel, and they get the rain and the snow from heaven, and they believe on Jesus Christ as Lord. And the most wonderful story from a brother who shared it with me, who was saved and added to the Iranian church that was underground in Turkey. He shared the story of a young man who was a Bible smuggler in Iran. He said that that man had to clean out a storage facility at one point in Iran in which he had hidden all his Bibles. Remember, there's no printing press in Iran for Bibles, no bookstores. This Bible smuggler was storing his Bibles in a storage facility and getting them to the Iranian people. He had to empty this one facility, and he had but one Bible left. And this young man, who was no older than some of the youngest teenagers here today, be encouraged for the ministry God will give you, kids. He said, Lord, I don't know what to do with this last Bible. It's my last one. Who to give it to? He had in his hand the rain and the snow from heaven. He was walking down the street with this Bible in his hand, and he saw a light on. It was probably 9 or 10 p.m. And he felt in the spirit that perhaps he should knock on that door where this light was on. He knocked on the door. A woman opened the door. And she said, yes. And he said, well, miss, forgive the interruption. I just wanted to offer you this book. Would you like it? She took a look at that book, and she began to come to tears in front of this young man. He had no idea what was going on. She composed herself as best she could, and she told this young man, you don't understand what's just happened here. I was just in my house watching TV, one of these satellite stations I was tuned into, and they were sharing about this Jesus. And I prayed to God. I said, if this is real, if this is the truth, show me. Make sure I don't miss it. And the next thing I heard was, and a Bible in my hand. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God sent that Iranian boy with that word in his hand, and boy, did that Bible prosper for the thing in which it was set. Brothers and sisters, the satellite was already doing its job. The believers in California were already doing their job. The radio stations were already doing their job. Dick and Nita Patworth were already doing their job on the soil. And to this day, in the radio station ministry, I believe it's in Colorado, they're doing their recordings now. Everybody's doing their job. But we still have a job as members of the body of Christ. In the great and awesome army of the Lord, you and I are mere servants, called to deliver the Bible as this young man was. What would that story have been if everyone did that job, but that young man did not, by faith, knock on that door and deliver that Bible? It's like the climax of the story would have been missing, huh? I'm not going to say she wouldn't have come to faith, but it would not have given nearly as much glory to God as the wonderful story we've just heard. We have a job to carry out this word to the farthest reaches of the earth. With the encouragement, no matter where we go, even in this town of yours, as the rain and the snow comes down and do not return there, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and shall not return to me void. We can face tremendous opposition in our own country, even sometimes in our own household, feeling as though we are completely at a loss for how to give the gospel and that they don't want to listen to us. As so many of you know, I was saved out of Islam as the only son in a Muslim family. I was the youngest member of that family. I had a twin sister, sure. She was 7 minutes older, and everybody acted like it was 7 years. So I was really treated as the baby, had no honor in the family, and yet God chose to save me first. He chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise in their own wisdom. and here the youngest of the family, of no man, no given honor or stature by men, was saved first. That's the grace of God. I was at a loss how to share the gospel with my family, how to get it to them. In fact, they wouldn't listen to me. I would tell them my testimony. They would kind of shrug it off. I would have different opportunities to share here and there, especially as we prayed for them in each of their personal life crises, and God did miracles at every juncture in my family. But they continued to be steadfastly, adamantly against this gospel, against this rain, this snow which comes down from heaven, against this word of God, where if you hear it, it'll produce faith and repentance if you believe it, unto salvation. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But so often my family wouldn't hear. And so how would God get his word to my family? I have a wonderful story for you today. It serves not only as an illustration of the text we're reading over and over again, illustrating it, but also as an encouraging report. My mother is the strongest Muslim in the family. She's adamantly against the gospel and constantly seeking to turn me back to Islam. Praise God, she hasn't succeeded. Brothers and sisters, I went home for one holiday to see my family. I was just saved a couple years at this point. And I was very much shocked to find that on the dresser in my room were two gospel tracts. How did they get there? Who put them there? And how did my mom allow it? And near these gospel tracts were two Jesus film DVDs. In fact, each of these tracts was inside of a Ziploc. There was a Jesus film DVD in each of these Ziplocs. And then a little Gospel of John booklet was the gospel tract. This is a pretty good tract. It was a little tiny Gospel of John booklet. In fact, the way it had been printed in size and in appearance, it had been made to appear like a tiny Quran that I've seen Muslims carry around. It was sneaky, but it was the Gospel of John. I said to Mom, what are these? Trying to be as nonchalant as I can. And Mom said, oh, sweetie, you know what happened? We were at the park here in Maryland. My parents live in the state of Maryland in the United States. We were at the park here in Maryland. And what happened was, these two ladies came to the park. It was strange. All the Iranians were gathered there together to celebrate the Iranian New Year. But these two ladies came, and they were dressed more conservatively Muslim than we were. They were dressed in a hijab, like a black sheet covering them from head to toe. These two ladies came, and they passed these things out to us and said, we've come to wish you guys a happy new year and to give you a new year's gift. And they passed out these things to us. And it was two Christian sisters who dressed up and infiltrated the Muslim gathering. And so what my mom did is she said, so, sweetie, I came home, I looked at it, I realized it's about Jesus, and I said, oh, my son likes him. And so I put it on your dresser. You can have it. Yeah, I do like Jesus, Mom. In fact, that's an understatement, isn't it? We love him, and why? Because he first loved us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us and loved us. Praise his name and worship his name, we do. Mom said, because you like him, I put it there. I'll tell you what, friends, this was God working. Not only getting the gospel to my mother as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, but allowing me to catch a glimpse of it that I might encourage you in the way the Lord encouraged me by showing this to me. Because too often we don't get to see this, and neither should we be looking for these things so much, because we walk by faith, not by sight. But sometimes you get a rare glimpse of what God's doing, and it's glorious. And so my mom put that Jesus film DVD and those two Gospel of Johns on my desk, and she didn't want it. I tried different ways of getting her to pick it up. I would kind of put one little Ziploc with the Gospel of John and the DVD here in the house as a booby trap, another one there in the house as a booby trap. I would have these different booby traps set, and the next time I would come to visit, they were still there. Sometimes they were just back in my room. They weren't biting. The fish were not biting. My mom, it broke my heart that God had gotten this Gospel of John to her, and she had tried to send it away. I was too young in the faith to understand the promise of God. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. God had a purpose for those two Gospel of John booklets, and it wasn't going to turn back to him void. Here's what God did. About 2 years passed. My grandmother came to visit. She stayed in my room at my parents' home, because I don't live there. I only go to visit on holidays. I went home to visit. I got to see Grandma. It was wonderful to see her. I looked at these two Gospel of Johns still there with the Jesus film DVD, and I realized and thought to myself, perhaps it's for Grandma. And so I prepared to give my grandmother a gift. I said, Grandma, I have the most wonderful gift in the world I could possibly give you, and I want to give it to you. She got excited. And God had already given me favor. Happy to report I was Grandma's favorite grandchild. How that happened is the grace of God. And so, brothers and sisters, here's what happened. I said, Grandma, I want to give you a gift. It's very important. She got very excited. She said, what is it? I'm excited. And I gave her this Gospel of John booklet. I didn't give the DVD because I don't think Grandma knows how to work the DVD player. She was in her 90s. But I gave the Gospel of John booklet. I gave it to her. I said, this is the most important gift I could give you. Grandma, you must read this book. It's a matter of eternal importance. My grandmother was so excited. She said, I love it already. I'm going to read it every day. I said, that's great. Now, Grandma, we need to have a discussion. Because in a couple days, I understand you got a flight to Iran. You're going to fly into the Islamic Republic. Well, what I've given you is a Christian book. It's outlawed in that republic. And you could get in trouble in the border just for trying to bring that book into the Islamic Republic of Iran. She looked at me confused and said, why? I said, Grandma, you could get in trouble for that book. You need to hide that book as you sneak it into the country. I might suggest hiding it somewhere in your clothing in hopes that they won't pat down an old lady. And she said, that's ridiculous. She said something to this effect, brothers and sisters. She said, nobody's going to give me trouble. I said, Grandma, the Revolutionary Guard, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, those boys with AK-47s will give you trouble for that book. She said something to this effect. She said, those boys at the border wouldn't dream of telling me what to do. In Middle Eastern cultures, they don't realize it. Even the Muslims do not realize it. They're living a pattern of Leviticus 19, verse 32. You shall rise in the presence of the gray-haired. Honor the presence of an old man, to paraphrase. They live that in Middle Eastern culture. My grandma was in her 90s, the oldest surviving member of our family, and she had realized that she can walk on water over there and do whatever she wants. And so she said, those boys aren't going to tell me what to do. I'm taking this book. She flew to Iran, and I was biting my nails, nervous. And here's what happened. Eventually, I called her. She answered the phone. I said, Grandma, how are you? She said, I'm fine. I said, what happened? She said, I'm here. What do you mean? I said, with the thing I gave you. She said, oh, I got it right here. I said, they didn't give you trouble? She said, no, I told you they're not going to say anything to me. She was right. How did this happen? For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make her bring forth in bud, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. Forth from my mouth it shall not return to me void. God allowed her to get this Gospel of John into the country. Some brethren, I joke and I say, the way to get these Gospels and Bibles into these closed countries is through their elderly. Right? So, brothers and sisters, here's what would happen. 6 or 7 years pass. My mother begins to realize that Grandma could die any day. In fact, at one point, she about did. And God did a miracle in Jesus' name and brought her back from the brink of death. My mom starts to visit my grandmother regularly. About twice a year, she would fly to Iran to see my grandmother. This is the same mom who was given this Gospel of John booklet. As she goes to visit my grandmother, she comes back from one of her trips about 6 to 7 years after the incident in the park in Maryland where these two sisters gave out the gospel. 6 or 7 years later, Mom visits Grandma in Iran and she comes back. I'm in the kitchen, and at this point I'm married. My wonderful wife, is there in the house. We've gone to visit my parents. But it's only me and Mom in the kitchen. And I see on my mom's face is a very serious look. She's thinking of the words of what to say to me about something. And I don't know what it is. I was eating a meal by myself. Finally, my mom squares up and says to me, Ali, I need to ask you something. I said, what, Mom? She said, what does this mean to you? And she said this phrase, Injile Yohanna. It's a Persian phrase. That phrase means the Gospel of John. I was shocked. I said, that means a lot to me. I didn't tell her, Mom, I got saved in that gospel. I was watching it on Netflix. I didn't tell her that much. I didn't want to spook the fish. And so I just said, Mom, it's an excellent book. Mom, I highly recommend reading it. There are 4 Injil gospel books. That's the last one. It's my favorite. Highly recommend that book. My mom already had it in her by what God was doing. It didn't matter what I suggested. The rain and the snow had come. What she said was this. She said, when I was in your grandmother's house, I decided to clean grandmother's apartment, see if I could find myself a Quran somewhere in there to read. When I got to your grandmother's cabinet, I found a little booklet. I grabbed it. On it, it says, Injile Yohanna. I brought it back with me. I shall purpose to read it. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. We were overjoyed, my wife and I, in secret, praying and hoping Mom would read it. Again, brethren, these are rare glimpses of what God is doing. We have to have faith, walk by faith, not by sight. This story has encouraged me countless times. I pray it encourage you. 2 days later, we got another rare glimpse. 2 days later, after 6 or 7 years, Mom had brought that Bible back, not knowing what she was doing. 2 days later, we were sent a picture of my mother and my sister. My brother-in-law had snapped the picture, just kind of impromptu. It was a picture of my mother and sister. My sister was sitting at attention, smiling to the camera. My mother was not. She wasn't even looking at the camera. It was my wife, the better half, that noticed this. She said, honey, zoom in on that picture, on your mom. We zoomed in on my mother, and we noticed her face is twisted in fierce concentration. And in her hand is the Gospel of John that she's looking and reading. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. She had no idea this is the same gospel she tried to get rid of 7 years ago. 2 or 3 months pass. I went to visit my parents with my wife. We went to visit my parents, and I got a warning from my sisters. They said, be careful. Something's gone wrong. Mom and Dad aren't talking right now. Now, to give you some background, my parents have been happily married for some 40 years. They'll still hold hands and walk. It's remarkable, being unsaved, how much their marriage is blessed. It's called the grace of God. I often wonder how much more blessed would their marriage be if they got saved. Because things like this happened. They weren't talking. Now, what was the issue? I don't want to leave you with a sense of not knowing. You might just think it was something terrible. So I'll just tell you what it is. Remove any suspicion. The issue for which they were not talking was whether or not my dad should retire that week or in 2 weeks. It's a true story. So as you go home, give thanks to God for the Holy Spirit, which is able to help you, make you wise along with the word, that you not make a mountain out of a molehill, that you understand and be grateful for the marriage that you have. And so, though they're in love for 40 years, they're not talking at this juncture. For some reason of God, we, my wife and I, did not offer to pray. Anytime there's a crisis in the family, we step forward and offer to pray. They usually will not push back. They'll let us pray, and God answers, even does miracles, that they may believe in Jesus Christ. And we pray audibly for their issue, in Jesus' name, so they know who's working, Jesus from heaven. And so we didn't offer to pray this time. The situation got so bad with my mother and father that eventually my mom said to me, go tell your dad dinner's ready. In other words, she wouldn't even call him, right? And so Dad was downstairs in the basement where he's got a little office down there. I went up to the top steps of the basement. I shouted down, Dad, Mom says dinner's ready. And he said, hey, son, why don't you come down here for a minute? I was like, okay. Put on some shoes, went down in the basement. Yes, Dad? So why don't you sit down? I sat down. And he said, I'm sure you've noticed. Your mother and I, we're not talking right now. I said, yes, I've noticed. He said, well, I'm afraid it's so bad. I'm afraid we're going to have to ask you to pray. It's come to this. It's come to this. It's come to asking the believer for prayer, right? Do you see how God is working? But somehow by God's working, I didn't pray in that moment. We went upstairs, we sat down for dinner, we were eating dinner. Dinner was just about done. Mom and Dad were seated next to each other, but just not talking. And as the dinner was wrapping up, my mother, all of a sudden, something happened. Someone said something, I don't know who it was, it doesn't matter. But it was the spark to the powder keg. My mother stood up from the table and says, well, then I'm leaving the table. It was, uh-oh, it's bad. And I said, wait, Mom, Dad has asked me to pray. Shouldn't I pray? And she goes, yeah, you better pray. And so she sat down and I began to pray. Brethren, I'm going to shorten this tremendously. Tremendously. I could speak for an hour on what God did in that moment. I could speak for several hours. What happened in that moment is God answered the prayers of the saints who had been praying for my mother, that she be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. As I began to pray at the dinner table, and my wife was there right next to us, I don't know how else to say it to you than the Holy Spirit showed up with power on that moment. All of a sudden, brethren, there was a presence in the room. I understand the Holy Spirit lives in the believer. But there was an otherworldly presence in the room, an electricity in the air. The best thing I can describe to you, words fail to bring it across, but what this power, this Holy Spirit produced in that room that you could sense were these two words, holy fear. It was immense. As I prayed, I began to weep, and something remarkable happened. I, who am not very good in Farsi Persian, began to pray perfectly in Farsi Persian. And not just pray perfectly, pray scripture in Farsi Persian. I remember just being beside myself. What is going on? This is otherworldly. As I'm weeping and the words are coming out of my mouth, these words came out, and it shall come to pass that whomsoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Straight out of Acts, but in perfect Farsi. Somebody talks to you about tongues, talk to them about that. That's what tongues is for. For the gospel to be preached, to be heard, that the Gentiles might hear, that they might believe. It was a remarkable moment. I shall never forget it. When I opened my eyes after the amen and the tears rolling down my face, my mother was doing one of these. Her head down on the table, weeping uncontrollably. It was the Holy Spirit showed up that night, convicted my mother of sin. Of sin, for she knows not Christ, of righteousness, for he is ascended to the Father, and of judgment, for the ruler of this world is judged. My mom was convicted, trifold, by the Holy Spirit that night. Even so, just as Israel was cut to the heart at the preaching of Stephen, they resisted. Stephen said, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, Stephen said in Acts 7. Sadly, my mother resisted that night afterward. She didn't believe. We thought, boy, if she didn't believe then when? Is this story over then, Lord? We'd never seen a show of power to that effect. Well, God wasn't finished. Because of the promise of his scripture, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. After that incident, a week later, during the same visit, I am humbled here to confess to you, my flesh came out. What happened was, I wanted to defend my personal pride in some matter of issue that had arisen in the family. To make a long story very short, my brother-in-law had lodged a complaint against me. He's an unbeliever. What do I expect? Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. When they killed the Savior, Jesus prayed that. So what do we expect from unbelievers? But I confess to you, my pride came out. I thought, oh, my brother-in-law, man, I got a laundry list of offenses he's committed. And so I told my parents, well, let me tell you about him. And I complained about him. My flesh came out, my pride. That's not the way of the Lord. The Lord says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. As this conversation progressed, I realized the conversation was somehow turning spiritual. And the Holy Spirit was nudging me, or you could say, knocking me on the head. And I was being convicted to put my own personal pride aside and to just go with where the Lord is taking the conversation. Forget defending yourself, Ali. They're willing to talk about the gospel. Put it aside. See what God wants to do with this. And so by God's grace, I swallowed my pride. The conversation shifted, and before I knew it, somehow by the grace of God and the working power of His Word and Holy Spirit, we were straight talking about the gospel. My mom pushed back on who the identity of Jesus is, and I remember I said to her, Mom, go get your Quran. She went and got her Quran. I said, turn to Surah number 3. Turn to verse, I think it's 43. I said, read. This is an area of the Quran where the Quran has borrowed or ripped off from the Bible. And that's why I had her go there. I know what that verse in the Quran says. She read the verse. The verse says, we send you glad tidings of good news, Mary. We send you a word from God, and His name is Jesus. Has the Quran borrowed from the Bible? Heavily in that verse, hasn't it? I said, Mom, it says here in your Quran that you believe is infallible. I do not, but you believe it is. This verse says Jesus is the word of God sent from God. The good news. Do you believe Jesus is God's word? She looked at that verse in her Quran. She wrestled with it. She didn't want to admit it, but she realized she had to stay on the foundation of a Muslim belief. If she was going to follow the weight of her own logic, she had to say she believed what she read. So finally she said, I believe it. I believe Jesus is God's word. Now, I knew that she wasn't making a profession of salvation. She was going only as far as the Quran goes. And the Quran, I'll make it clear, does not go as far as salvation. It's a false gospel book given by a false prophet. I said, so you agree Jesus is the word of God? She says, I agree. I said, okay, Mom, go get that little Gospel of John book. She goes, that little book? I said, yeah, go get it. Do you still have it? She goes, I've read it three times. I said, really, Mom? She said, yes. I said, well, go get it. She went and got it. I said, Mom, read the first word on the first chapter, on the first page. Read those first words. She began to read in Farsi, in the beginning was the Word. And we just watched her as she froze in shock. Wrestling, trying to reconcile. How is it that a Quran that comes 600 years later is still calling Jesus the Word? And the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, meaning this Word, this Jesus, is eternal, not a mortal man, an eternal man who died in became a mortal, died a mortal death for our sakes, but he is an immortal man. She wrestled with this. And she pushed back. She continued to push back. And I was praying silently in my heart. I have to wrap this up, brethren. I was silently praying in my heart, Lord, do you want me to tell her where this book came from? And at one juncture, she goes, you know what? This is actually a translation. This Bible translation I actually like. Because we'd given her another Bible. And there was a whole other story of how Jehovah's Witnesses had come and given her a Bible when we weren't there. And so she was really confused about translations, to say the least. And she goes, I like this translation. I didn't like the other translation. And we think she was talking about the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Praise God she didn't like that translation. So we said, well, Mom, what do you like about this translation? She goes, this is printed in Iran. That's what I like about it. We said, why do you say that? She goes, look inside the cover. Here, printed at such and such address in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Brothers and sisters, there's no way at that address is a printing press for gospel books. That is merely a formality they put on the page to divert a revolutionary guard who might look, yeah, it's got a publishing address here in Tehran. It can't be a Christian book. It's a diversion that the missionaries put in that book. It's probably a fake address completely. And she's like, I like this. This Bible was printed in Iran. It's the Persian version. I like this one. Her personal pride coming through. Trying to take some ownership over God's word without believing it fully and thoroughly. The Gospel of John gives a gospel. I believe it's in that gospel Jesus says, to the one who doesn't believe me, the very words I have spoken to him will condemn him on that day, to paraphrase. The Lord gave me the go-ahead. I said, Mom, do you want to know where that book comes from? She goes, it comes from Iran. It's printed there. Your grandmother had it. It was in her cabinet. I said, Mom, that book, you went to the park here in Maryland years ago, and two ladies came dressed as Muslims and handed it to you. You came home and put it on my dresser. I gave it to Grandma as a gift. Grandma took it to Iran. You went to Iran and brought it back. And as I told this story, she did one of these. She began to stare at that Bible in her hand. Her mouth fell open. Her eyes became wide in amazement of what the Lord had done. Bringing this Bible back to her, even by her own unwitting hands. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper for the thing which I sent it. To this day, my mother has not believed, but boy, we are encouraged that God keeps his word. Heavenly Father, we give thanks. There is no one like you who works. There is no one who can shut after you open. There is no one who can open after you shut. And Lord, from heaven, as the rain and the snow, you've given us promises from Scripture. And despite the every and ever wicked will of man to thwart your word, to burn it and destroy it, it prevails to this day. It is indeed the written incarnation of Jesus Christ. You cannot destroy him. He is creator of heaven and earth, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we pray only one thing, that we would do our part in sending out your word, even from our lips. Knowing fully, no matter how dire the appearance and circumstance, it will not turn back void. It will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. In Jesus' name, as you sent your Son. Amen.